Please be seated. So, Thanksgiving, turkeys and pies galore, and by 5 p.m. tomorrow, all of the shops will be in full-blown Halloween mode. But rapidly by Christmas, once October is over, yes, it's just 78 days to Christmas. I love Christmas. It's easy to get swept along with the next thing and then the next because life is lived so fast now. And I'm not just talking about my speeding issue with that Marine Ave drive. Life is fast. It is constantly moving with information and advertising available to us faster, almost than we can think. And we have so many plates spinning that it's easy to forget that everything we have from the turkey on the table today or tomorrow to the handfuls of candy we will give out at the end of the month, as though diabetes is not a thing, is gifted to us by God. The world is constantly telling us who we are and what we deserve for better or worse. I actually received an interesting email this week from Amazon. Some of you may also have received it. It was letting me know that Black Friday deals are coming, as though I was, you know, worried that perhaps they weren't going to arrive. It told me that I am too busy to shop in store. I am. I saw it in an advert. I don't have time to wander around locally looking for bespoke things that my family might enjoy for the holiday season. No. A tired office worker enters the scene. There's a photocopier. It's very sad. The photocopier is always the saddest part of the office. Overwhelmed by the task of photocopying, because it is so hard, and preparing for family holidays, which, by the way, all of the adverts at this time of year seem to assume that we all take part in these huge family gatherings, and that family, sort of come together and get close, which is not true for everybody, so that's irritating, living 7,000 miles from home. But the office worker is suddenly confronted, next to the sad photocopier, by a figure who is made entirely of boxes, with a big smile. You know, the Amazon smile that comes on the box is on the one on the head. And he suddenly just like appears at the side of the photocopier like a genie. And there is this triumphant superhero music accompanying this creature, as though to say, never fear, Amazon has got your back, tired office worker who's too busy to shop because they're too busy photocopying. The message is that you no longer need to think. On Black Friday, your Amazon account will tell you what to buy. It will also wrap it for you, send it to your house with a gift message that you can take part in or not for the person that you care about ready for Christmas. The algorithms of the world will literally tell you what to purchase when for yourself and your family, and you only have to look at a screen and press click. It's not even like really spending money. It's just like click, oh, it's on the doorstep. Like the superhero box man will do this for you. And by the end of this interaction by the photocopier, the worker is so relieved, he's so light, and he sort of skips away, and you think, oh, thank God for Amazon. Of course, we all know that these things that the world tells us that we need are more often than not exactly what we do not need. I do not need the crippling debt that accompanies the Black Friday hangover, basically, right before Christmas. And I certainly don't need additional debt right after Christmas, especially in today's economy. And I know that most people would probably agree with that. But our superhero doesn't appear at the click of a button. Our hero appears wandering on the fringes of society where homeless and outcast people live. And it turns out Thanksgiving is not about Amazon.com making even more money. Thanksgiving is about relationship first and foremost. To thank someone means to be in conversation with them at the very least, even if the moment is fleeting, like holding a door, you know, oh, thanks. But in Scripture, thanksgiving and our relationship with God is not fleeting. It began from the moment God created human beings in God's image, and it continues as God chose Israel to be God's people, and God is constantly calling us to remember and be glad and grateful that we are God's beloved children, that all people, in fact, are created in God's image, and that creation itself is held close to the Creator and given to us to care for, no matter how long or how short our time on this earth might be. So, blessings. Today's readings are rich with the themes of blessings, mercy, restoration, generosity, and thanksgiving. And there is a big identity piece in these readings that tells us who we are and who we are to be in relation to God. Okay? That's at least what I got from it. The reading from Deuteronomy highlights for us that God knows only too well our propensity to think that we know better than God and to trust other things, like the algorithms. Do not trust them. And to forget what God has taught us or asked of us. We heard that God freed the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt during a time that they were crying out for help. It is so easy to lean in to the divine when times are tough. God offers a word of caution here. The commandments were given and the promised land provided after years of testing in the wilderness. And remember, God says, you didn't get to where you are on your own merits. I brought you here. Don't forget that. God has given us all that we have and all that we will have, and we simply borrow it until it passes to a new generation. Because, as people often say, you can't take it with you. And then Paul preaches to us from the pages of the second letter to the Corinthians, saying, those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. But he's not talking about a literal harvest, the fruits of which we see all around us this morning in the church. He's talking primarily about generosity. As God has provided us with all we have, Paul urges the Corinthians, and then by extension urges us, to be generous in sharing the gifts we have been blessed with, and not just the physical things like a good harvest or material possessions, but the gospel itself, the good news of what God has done through Jesus and what God continues to do and will continue to do long after we are here. Now, I don't know about you, but I find personally that it feels really good to belong. It feels good to be known, kind of like Cheers, right? Like, that's how I feel when I walk into the brewery down the street, shocker. But that's how I feel. It's like everybody knows my name. I know the names of all the staff. I know things about them, you know, this kind of thing. And it's good to be known. When I come here on a Sunday, it is good to be known by you guys. And it's good to know things about you and to feel like when I'm here, I'm safe. It's like being at home for me, which is a really special thing because home for me is on the other side of the world. So when a holiday like Thanksgiving comes around, it is fun to be at a feast and to connect with those closest to us. The shadow side, however, of this time of year is we don't see. And we don't see it because we're busy enjoying them, most of us. The shadow side is that for people who don't have family to gather with, it is an intensified time of loneliness. So if there is anybody in your life that you can think of who maybe might not have a place to go, and I do, so don't worry about me, then please reach out to them, even if it's just with a phone call, even if it's someone you know that can't get out of where they are, reach out to them. Because these times of year are hard when you have no one. Now, the lepers in the gospel reading. They knew this. They knew this only too well. They were isolated outside of the village. They were not permitted to return to their families to worship or even to move close to people to speak to them. We heard that they called to Jesus from a little ways off, right? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, like the people crying out to God from the land of Egypt. They too wanted to be restored to their communities, to be made clean. They wanted to leave their exile. And then we hear Jesus' words, go and show yourself to the priests. And they are immediately obedient to his word, to God's word. This is part of the faith journey, obedience. It's the bit that most people don't like. Now, I imagine that as they walked back towards the village to the place where the priests would be, to the place of worship, I would imagine that their hearts began to race as they felt their skin begin to return to being smooth and healthy. I imagine that as they saw it, all they could think of was how desperate they were to run home and embrace the people that they love. And at that point, the idea of having to go to a priest first must have felt like an additional waypoint, a chore almost, because if you've been outside of a village with, you know, a crusty skin condition that's highly contagious and felt, you know, so isolated and unloved for so long, the idea of having to do this extra thing before you can go back to the people you love must have been agony. But off they went. Now, in their minds, they're thinking, oh my gosh, after I've done this, I can go and hug my mom, my brother, my kids, my wife, my husband, and I will be seen as such. I will no longer be identified as a leper. I will once again be restored to be a brother, a mother, a sibling, a child. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He sent them to the priests so they could be ritually cleansed and restored to God first in their place of worship. But we're reading the story with hindsight, right? Hindsight's 20/20. We remember that Jesus is, in fact, God. And even in those moments of miracle where their thoughts and emotions must have been so heightened, even with all that happening, one turns back to return to God, unable to forget that God, Jesus incarnate, has done this for him. And obeying, wrong paragraph, sorry. He goes back to give glory to God. Now, the lesson here is that it is our faith that makes us well, or perhaps our faith that keeps us healthy. And I don't mean that necessarily just in a bodily sense, because so many of us are living with conditions or illnesses or things, you know, like a knee that gets really sore when the weather changes. Like, I'm not necessarily talking about that, but it is our faith that makes us well, that returning again and again to Jesus or to God in thanksgiving is in fact what makes us well. It is God who frees us from the entanglements and the algorithms of this world that relentlessly vie for our attention. It is God who soothes our souls and keeps them healthy. And remembering what God has done for us and obeying the commandments is all we have to do. Now, Thanksgiving is an important cultural holiday for Canada, but it is a way of life for Christian people. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we will do here this morning, and I know you guys know this bit because we had the guided Eucharist service a few weeks ago, but I just thought I'd say it again, just because. We are participating in the great Thanksgiving, because the word Eucharist literally means Thanksgiving. This is our way of life. Our way of life is Thanksgiving. And Jesus is the subject of the great Thanksgiving that Samaritan returned to and that we return to every week as a community together. So, the question for us then, for us, the lucky ones who have this place to come, to be together, to be known by one another and by God. The question for us then is, where are the places in our community, like the land between Samaria and Galilee, where people live on the fringes and are outcast because of some condition like poverty, addiction, homelessness, social isolation, or even just having bad knees? Where are they in our community? Are we able to see their humanity, or do we only focus on their condition and say things like, oh, she's a shut-in? She's not. She's a beloved child of God who can't leave the house for some reason, which means that the people of God have to go to her. When each of us knows what God has done in our own lives and in the life of this church, the question for us coming off the back of these readings, and perhaps at the dinner table today, is how are we going to respond as we move into the next chapter, as we leave the great Thanksgiving of the Eucharist today and are dismissed by our holy deacons? How are we going to move into the next chapter? So these are your talking points for Thanksgiving dinner. And we have much to ponder and a great deal to be thankful for. So, happy Thanksgiving.